Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, December 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the state auditor looks into suites at U.S. Bank Stadium and a labor shortage in Rochester. State Legislative Auditor Jim Noble says he's investigating the use by public officials of two luxury suites in the new Viking Stadium. Noble said a recent Minneapolis Star Tribune story raised questions and concerns about how the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority controls its 36 seats in the suites, as well as food and beverages provided to its guests. He notified the authority about the investigation this week and requested documents. Noble says he will insist the authority disclose who's been using those seats.
Whether I accept their characterization of this as not public data is yet to be seen. I mean, they're going to have to show me in law why this information should not be made public, but it certainly will be disclosed to me.
Several public officials recently paid back the authority for tickets they received after the newspaper started asking about the suites. Noble says he hopes to present his findings to legislators early next year. State officials say the recount that Stuart Mills wants in the 8th Congressional District will cost the Republican just over $102,000, Tim Pugmire reports.
Mills lost to incumbent DFL Congressman Rick Nolan by about 2,000 votes. That's beyond the margin for an automatic taxpayer-funded recount. But Mills made an official request this week for a discretionary recount that he must now pay for. The Minnesota Secretary of State's office said the estimated cost of $102,053 will cover all state and local expenses defined in statute that are related to the recount. Once Mills makes payment, the 8th District recount will proceed in 18 counties. The hand recount of 357,000 ballots is scheduled to take place December 5th through 7th. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Officials in Hennepin County are soon going to start deleting what could be vast troves of email held in government systems. The Hennepin County Sheriff's Office will delete email older than 30 days unless it is what department policy calls necessary for legitimate law enforcement purposes or evidence. The rest of the county will have a six-month deadline. That concerns some government watchdogs who say they think the new policy will hide important government activity. Don Gemberling with the Minnesota Coalition on Government Information says officials shouldn't get to decide what to throw out.
They're going to decide things that act to their benefit. What's in their self-interest? And that means that a lot of stuff that's going to disappear, given the vagueness of the context, is stuff they'd rather the public didn't see.
Hennepin County officials say the new policy will save the cost of storing large quantities of data and that key records will be kept in compliance with state law. Rochester has a workforce problem, but in many ways it's a good problem to have. The growing city has too many job openings. Business owners are begging for workers, many of them in skilled trades or services industries. With the Destination Medical Center projected to add 30,000 more jobs in the city, the problem is likely to get much worse. As Catherine Richard reports, local schools are trying to close the gap, but the city still faces a lot of challenges.
With saws and hammers instead of notebooks, this partly built home is where high school students in Aaron Davis's construction technology class do a lot of their work. The two-bedroom, two-bath house going up here will eventually go on the market, even though it's largely the work of students at Casson-Manterville High School, about 20 minutes west of Rochester. The course gives students a taste of what it would be like if they choose to work in construction after they graduate. And the choice will be theirs. A state survey earlier this year found nearly 500 construction positions available in southeast Minnesota. Aaron Davis says builders are hungry for his students.
You get into years like now, and it's we get a lot of requests from contractors. Who do you got? You know, you got kids that are ready to come out.
Demand for workers is strong in general in southeast Minnesota. That same survey found more than 8,000 jobs available in the region. Rochester's job market is even tighter, with a tiny unemployment rate of 2.4%. And more positions are on the horizon. The Destination Medical Center Economic Development Project expects to add more than 30,000 new jobs to the market over the next two decades. The problem? The city needs 30,000 new workers.
In order to be counted as a job, there has to be somebody there to fill it.
That's Steve Hine, a state labor market economist. Right now, he says Rochester's ambitious employment goals face some strong headwinds. The area is adding only 600 workers every year, less than half the pace needed. So Rochester will have to attract workers by essentially outbidding other cities. Hines says that Southeast Minnesota industries desperate for workers like construction, retail, and hospitality will have to pay more. Pay rates are slowly creeping up again after the recession, but Hines says
increasing wages is going to have to be a crucial component to that aggressiveness.
Given the challenges recruiting workers from outside Rochester, Hines says local programs that cultivate younger employees are critical to DMC's mission, so long as these newly minted workers stay local, and that's far from guaranteed. At C-Tech, a vocational program on the eastern edge of town, some Rochester high school students learning the hospitality industry are making cookies. The C-Tech building opened in September to help students find careers that don't necessarily require a four-year degree. But the program is also an effort to speed students into the workforce to address Rochester's shortage. As Jason Koster spoons dough onto a baking sheet, he explains that a future making food holds real interest for him.
I really enjoy it.
Koster says he doesn't mind the relatively low pay most entry-level kitchen jobs offer. He says C-Tech is giving him the foundation to be an attractive job candidate and to move up the industry ranks quickly. But Koster plans to leave Rochester for St. Cloud next year. The cooking school he will attend there offers the curriculum he wants and a better price than he can find at home. Koster says he may return to Rochester someday.
When DMC gets finished, there'll probably be a lot of jobs that they need, and that will some of the stuff that I'll be studying will be some of those jobs in the future. So maybe.
But Rochester might not see Koster again if he's able to achieve his professional dream, owning a restaurant in the South Pacific. Catherine Richard, Minnesota Public Radio News in Rochester.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.